The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show today. I am so excited to have on the founder of Private Lending Lessons, Alex Brashears. Alex, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Cody. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you making some time for us, making some time for our audience. I'm excited to have you on. For those that maybe haven't seen your background or heard about it, would you mind telling our audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you got into real estate, and where you're in the real estate game these days?
Oh, that's easy. So I am a military spouse of the last 20 years. My spouse is an active duty service member in the Navy. We have moved. I'm currently sitting in my 19th address in 20 years. So we are professional movers. I will say we are very good at that. My kind of W-2 job, if you want to look at it that way, is I'm a chemistry professor for a four-year school. I used to run the research lab when my husband was stationed down there. And then when I got, you know, my spouse got new orders, I had to go to them and say, hey guys, I'm moving. And they're like, would you like to teach online? And I'm like, absolutely. So I was teaching online before it was cool, thanks to COVID. And our journey into real estate, I feel, was very typical to a lot of people that are new to real estate, especially those in the military. We bought our first house with the VA loan. You know, it's what everybody does in the military. You buy your first house with the VA loan. And then, you know, kind of the mantra from there is, you know, live in it a couple years, let it appreciate, refinance, go out and get your next one, your bigger one, your, you know, next duty station. So we did that. And in that process, we joined, well, I joined some of the local RIA groups, you know, going to the meetings as an extrovert. It was always kind of a nice outlet to go and learn from other people. And that really set me off in kind of a direction I wasn't anticipating, completely by accident. I ended up kind of bumping into another individual at one of these RIA meetings, and he knew I was a chemistry graduate at the local university. And he's like, oh, so you must be good with numbers. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in Calc 3 right now. I'm pretty good with numbers. And I was like, why do you ask? And he says, well, I'm looking for somebody to do loan brokering, because he was a hard money lender, private lender. And he says the best words any college student wants to hear when it talks about employment is, you can work your own hours. You can set your own hours. And I was like, done. Let's do that. What's that involve? And he kind of explained the process to me. And since it was a smaller shop, I also did some of the office work. So when people back, this was 20 years ago, so people did not have Venmo. They were actually mailing paper checks to people. What a thought. And so I was doing a lot of the deposits, you know, the bookkeeping for the business. And the thing I always noticed was, you know, no matter what happened with the property, if the contractor ran off with half the supplies, you know, that you bought them, you know, the tenant moved in, hasn't paid rent in 2 months, no matter what happened, you had to pay the mortgage. And again, you know, kind of mingling with these various RIA groups, I saw, you know, landlords, and it seemed to be not a good fit, because it really was like, you know, especially the market we were in at the time, you know, they were kind of keeping their fingers crossed for 30 days that nothing broke, so they could collect their $100 or $200, you know, on the good side for cash flow that month. And then once the first rolled around, it was the same process over and over again. And then meanwhile, I was working in a lending business that no matter what happened, I was cashing checks between $700 and $2,700 every single month, you know, routinely.
Wow. That, I mean, what a journey. And first and foremost, thank you for the service that your spouse performs for us. We really appreciate it. And just pulling the curtain back for those that are listening, Alex and I were chatting a little bit about math and science a little bit before we hit record. So we were able to nerd out on that for a little bit. But it's interesting. I love your journey. So many different things. And starting out the way you did, especially with in the military and going through that process, but then finding your way into real estate, that's incredibly interesting. We haven't heard that type of journey yet, but it's really interesting what you do. I would imagine, you know, you're joining us today, that hasn't always been smooth and easy though. So what comes to mind from one of the challenges that you faced in your journey?
I would say the worst thing that happens to new investors is nobody has a conversation with them about what their goals are, what their personalities are, what their skill set is, what they enjoy doing. Because a lot of people are like, I want to invest in real estate so I can get out of my W-2 job. But in reality, when you start digging in and go, why, it's because they either want geographical freedom or time freedom. And if you end up kind of backing yourself into the quote unquote active real estate investor role, you know, having 20 doors, 20 single family homes is not as passive as I think a lot of the gurus want to make it out to be. So, you know, we were just kind of in that funnel. Oh, we did the two things that real estate investing, quote unquote, means. You're going to be a fix and flipper like on HGTV, or you're going to be a landlord. And we tried both of those, only to sadly discover that neither one of those fit our personalities, really fit our goals, didn't fit our lifestyle at all, because we've moved so much across the country. Trying to be a landlord from 3,000 miles away, you know, is just, if you're six time zones away from where your house is, just trying to get a hold of the property manager is a struggle. So we quickly discovered that those two styles of real estate investing didn't suit who we were, but we spent a lot of time and a couple years figuring that out.
I gotcha. We've heard from folks that are distances away, whether it be one time zone, 3, 6. What are some of the things that were challenging for y'all that when you were going through that experience that really drew out and said, you know what, this type of real estate investment is not for us?
Well, so we ended up being sort of an accidental landlord. That first home we bought with our VA loan that I mentioned was a townhouse. And it was just, you know, really nice school district, you know, very close. It was ideal location for us to live. And then when we kind of decided to, you know, upgrade, we bought a single family home that was detached. So we turned the townhouse into a rental home. And while that sounds all good in theory, the downside of a townhome, we were a middle unit, two floors. The townhome next to us did not keep up on their maintenance of their roof. And so their roof was leaking into the common wall in between our two units. And so when the tenants moved in, you know, and it was unbeknownst to us when we lived there, it wasn't a problem. But shortly after the tenants moved in, they started complaining about a musty smell. You know, we went over there because we still lived in the area. We were actually getting ready to move out of the area. And I was like, yeah, this is definitely new. This is not something we experienced when we lived here. So we got the contractors out there. They did the little, you know, gun to look for moisture and temperature differences. And there's like, there's moisture behind this wall. They open it up and that's where they find out the roof has been leaking for quite some time. And it's not even our roof because we had just put a new roof on. It's the neighbor's roof. So we go to talk to the neighbor next door, who is bat crap crazy, little old lady that bought the townhouse when they were built, you know, 30 years ago. And she's adamant that there's nothing wrong with the roof. And since we can't legally go fix her roof, I have this problem. So we just kind of had to patch things up as best as we could. And it was a year long drawn out thing of let's try this, let's try that. Let's see if this abates the water. Let's dry it out. Let's remove drywall. It was just like, oh my God. And we were doing this from three time zones away at the time. And our property manager was next to useless for that particular property. You know, like, oh, we'll just send a contractor out, replace the drywall and it'll be good. And I'm like, but it's still leaking. We can't do that.
Right. And I think that's one of the things we've heard others talk about, making sure, one, if you do have a property manager, whether you live in town because you can't swing a hammer like I can't, or if you are three time zones away and it's required to keep up on maintenance, that having that partnership and finding the right person is critical. But to your point as well, that's not a passive property. That's an active property. And being able to do that while balancing a W-2 job, which is, you know, 40 to 60 hours a week for most people, that can be challenging. So I would imagine the long hours and the taxing conversations and all that probably were weighing on y'all. And it's not the lifestyle that y'all had envisioned or wanted in real estate.
No, not at all. It literally got to the point where every time our cell phone rang, it was just like, oh, what now?
So for those that are looking at this, whether they're at a W-2, they're in real estate in some capacity, they're maybe looking to leave, or they're starting to do the research now and they're find yourselves like you, they're looking saying, man, this is incredibly a great opportunity for us to maybe look at better time management or different lifestyle. What's some of your entry-level advice for those folks as they're doing their research or wanting to migrate away from a W-2 or possibly migrate away?
I would say it goes back to asking about your why. You know, there's that saying, ask why 5 times and then you'll find the root problem. So if you're just unhappy with your job, okay, great. You want to leave your job. Why? What are you unhappy about? You know, will getting another job solve that problem? You know, a lot of, you know, working for yourself as an entrepreneur is not really as easy as I think a lot of the, you know, TV and media want to make it out to be. It's, you know, especially if you're someone that's a one man band, a lot of single family rental landlords are one man band. So it's just you and you and more of you to solve the problems. So, I mean, it's really one of those things you have to stop and think about what you need in your lifestyle, what your goals are, you know, and I had to find a way to invest in real estate that didn't require me to be connected to one particular place, because we might live there for 3 months and real estate is a very slow moving, you know, way of investing. So you have no hope of, you know, getting really involved in real estate in one location in 3 months, especially 20 years ago before remote real estate investing was really a more commonplace thing.
Where would you point people that maybe do want to invest passively and get into that kind of game? Where are some resources, some places that they can go to learn about that kind of stuff?
There's a couple different places. If they're interested in something like syndication for multifamily, industrial properties, retail, hospitality, there's a fantastic book written by Brian Burke called The Hands-Off Investor. It will outline literally everything that you want to know about investing in syndication. So if that's something that you're interested in doing, another thing is really just getting out and talking to other people. You know, what are you doing in real estate? Because I find the more people I talk to, you know, their business plan is tweaked just a little bit different than what I've heard someone else. And I'm like, oh, I can incorporate this component. I can incorporate that component. And really, I mean, it's not rocket science. You know, you're not trying to reinvent the wheel. This has been going on for hundreds of years. It'll continue to go on for hundreds of years. So it's just really getting out and kind of making a style that works for you and your lifestyle.
Perfect. I love that. Alex, thank you so much. I think that's as good a spot as ever to maybe wrap up today's lesson and experience from you. So thank you so much for your time. For those that maybe want to connect with you, learn more about you, learn more about private lending lessons, where can folks find you?
Yes. So Facebook, you can just search for the group, Private Lending Lessons. I'm on LinkedIn, Alex Bertiers. My actual URL is invest passively to live actively, because that's just kind of the lens I look at the world through now. And happy to talk to anybody, jump on a Zoom call, you know, exchange messages. I really enjoy making the connection with other investors.
Perfect. We love that. We love sharing the wealth of information, especially with the experience you bring in to our guest and being able to share that. We love that about this community. And for those that are maybe wondering, we'll put all those links in the show notes to Alex's information so you can find her quickly. Alex, thank you so much for the time today. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And we'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.